everyone, and welcome to the Galactic Podcast. I am Lauren Romo. With me, as always, is my cousin and fellow nerd, Andrea Gutierrez.
As it is written.
As it is written. What's going on, cuz?
Oh, just chilling.
We had some fun.
Gotta get in the Star Wars mood. We've been in the Dune mood.
I'm still in a Dune mood, but so right. Yeah, we saw Dune.
Part two.
Together, we're going again today as we're recording this later on because we love this movie, part two, if you haven't seen it. I swear this is not a Dune podcast, but we
could make it one.
It could be 100%. But yeah, no, it was a good movie, and you can get to bring it to Star Wars. You get where there's influences.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
And if you ask me, I think Star Wars should be influenced now by Dune. These movies.
Which it could be. I mean, you know? I guess we'd have to talk to Denny Villeneuve.
I mean, just the like vehicles and all that stuff. Like, I feel like that should be adapted by Star Wars when they're making future projects, you know?
And I think it is. I think Star Wars is becoming that, where people are pulling, you know, influence or pulling from, for sure, for inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, you know, especially when it came out in 77, you can see where it changed a lot of things, and it still continues to change, I think, things as well. So, all right, kids, but no, we are back with some Bad Batch
episode 4.
So we're going to talk about it. But before we do that, if this is your first time listening to us, welcome. We are a Star Wars podcast that discusses anything and everything within that galaxy far, far away. In each episode, we will dive into one or two topics and have a general discussion on them. Topics could be movies, TV series, books, comics, a specific character, you name it. And we talk about it. All right, Ange. Episode 4.
I love this one.
It's up there for me as well. So we are talking about Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 4, A Different Approach. Your directors were Brad Rao, Saul Ruiz. Writing credits are obviously Dave Filoni, Jennifer Corbett, George Lucas. Obviously, that's based on Star Wars and characters he created. And then also, this was actually written by Mr. Ezra Notchman. So
he wrote a good
kudos
one.
Kudos all around to that crew. Right. This episode was up there for me. I'll kick us off with overall thoughts. I mean, this might be one of my favorite out of the entire series. Like, this is, it's up there. It's up there for me. I think watching this, so I got up, did my usual. I got up before work, watched it. Didn't have to get up too early because it was just one episode instead of three. So that was nice. But got up, watched it. And honestly, from start to finish, man, I was on the edge of my seat. Because you just felt the tension of like, okay, how are they getting off of this thing? What is going to happen? What are we doing?
For sure.
So you were literally pins and needles the entire time. The music was great, as always. You can't express how much they are so good at doing Star Wars. Especially that ending, which we'll talk about, but overall, yeah, I like this new planet that we went to, Lao. It kind of gave me a little bit of like, it seemed like it was a colder planet, or at least where they were on the planet.
Yeah, you can see their breath. Is that the first time we've ever seen that in animation? In Star Wars animation? Call.
Maybe, maybe not. I'd have to rewatch. I feel like Clone Wars, we saw some. Maybe. Like when they were with Chuchi on that ice planet.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Man, I just realized I forgot to do my homework from last week. Anyway.
Yeah. We're sometimes homework, sometimes not around here, as people who listen to us know. But no, yeah, but it looked good though, right? It just felt like really, really just well done, animation wise. Again, the outfits, I love the outfits that Omega and Crosshair got. Mm-hmm. I would take an action figure of those both.
They were
really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Especially Crosshairs gave me like Hoth vibes. Like,
yeah, with that little piece underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really, really cool. again, the whole like this little, you know, this little spaceport town that they're in was very, very cool. It just, it was a good episode from start to finish. Because again, it was from beginning to end very tense. Very tense. You, because again, they crash land after they get into hyperspace, right? You see that. It's just, and it's a wild ride from them getting onto the planet, crashing, trying to get in, you know, trying to disguise them, disguising themselves, trying to get money so they can get off of the of the spaceport, of the planet, through the spaceport. It's a wild ride. And it was tense because you really didn't know, right? And then I just love the interaction between Omega and Crosshair, man. This was excellent. Like, just excellent. And again, the title of the episode, A Different Approach, it was so perfect for this episode, right? I mean, just how Omega wants to do things versus how Crosshair wants to do things. In his, as you said, his skills, like, what is he good at? He's good at eliminating people. I mean, he's good. He's very good at that. That's what he was basically born to do. So, you know, her trying to get him to see a different way and all that, just, again, visuals were great. The music was great. The overall theme of this, of, you know, a different approach and everything like that for this whole episode was fantastic. I loved it. Again, this is one of my favorite episodes of the entire series. I mean, it's just, it's that good for me. We'll dive in, you know, deeper, but Ange, I'll throw it to you. Thoughts, feelings, how'd you watch it? You know, the usual, what you got, what'd you do? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I watched it after work. It kind of feels like a nice way to do it. Just work and then come home and just like lay on the couch and watch it. And yeah, I enjoyed it all the way through. I almost got emotional at the end. Like, there was a slight tear.
Right.
There was a slight tear that almost came out. If I didn't have so many things chemically balancing me, I think I would have bawled my eyes out. Dead serious. And it was a great display of how different Omega and Crosshair are. They're different, you know? It's like they have nothing in common besides, like, loyalty, and even he is dodgy around that.
In survival, different approaches, but...
Oh, yeah.
Survival, for sure.
Different approach. Yeah, I loved it. I thought the music was outstanding, especially at the end when Crosshair came walking out. Oh, my God. That was lights out. And I liked the planet. I love the Imperial officer. I really, really did. I thought it was just a great representation of what they are in like a 5-minute span. It was so perfect.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that more. And there were some like times when Omega would be like, why don't we save all the animals? I was like, come on, let's go. Can't do that.
We can't do everything. And I love, again, Crosshair was he was like, you're pushing it, Glenn.
Yeah, you're pushing it. So there were some really great moments in here just to represent how these characters' thought process works. And then also, like, how the Imperial works. Man, I loved Nalase, like, telling Hemlock it might be a false positive.
Oh,
way to
we'll
just get in his head.
Ooh-wee.
So it just had some great elements all the way across. And I'm kind of surprised how fast we had a reunion, but I liked it.
Yeah, I didn't mind that at all. I really didn't. I like how we're just doing the thing. We're just doing it. We're not, you know, elongating it or like really.
No filler.
Right. Right.
But people are saying it.
All right. Well, whatever. People can say what they want.
People are weird.
Well, yes, this is true as well. But no, I'm glad they just did it because why drag it out? Right? Why drag it out for like half a season where you can just, okay, boom, boom, boom. And now let's get into the Emperor, the Empire stuff. Let's get to what are they going to do? Like, are they, because in this episode, Omega, you know, one of her things was we have to go back to get everybody out. And that obviously Crosshair was like, we have to get out of here first before we can do anything. You know, so is that kind of where we're going? Like, there's a lot of things that they can do now that they're the reunion is done, right? And there's still opportunity. We'll talk about it. Where they still have to maybe go get a Mega too. I'll give those thoughts down the road in a little bit. But I love this episode. Like you're saying, the music, especially at the end, was just it was so good. Let's dive into, I want to talk about Hemlock and the Empire and all that. I mean, yeah, like you brought it up, Ange, Nala Say trying to just basically tell him, don't worry about it. It's fake. Don't worry.
When she said that it was an aberration, like the clone herself, like I feel like I could almost see like the gears twitch inside of like Hemlock's head, like, God, she could be right.
And that's why he couldn't really argue, like, you're lying. He was like, well, once I get her, we'll see if you're lying or not. And by the way, your like future doesn't look good.
You don't have one.
You don't have one, exactly. And can we, real quick, can I just give a shout out to Nalise's knees? When she's sitting, I don't know if you saw this in the animation, her knees are like literally almost like to her chest because she's so tall. I'm like, God. Anyway, stupid animation, like, you know, stupid thought as I watch animation. But he is very, I think that's a good point, Ange. He can't disagree with her. Because even though he's a scientist, she is the one that's been, like, knows and has been doing this longer than him. Right? I mean, I think we could safely say that, I feel like. So he does have to trust her in a way of knowing what these results or how, you know, what this could mean. Or if it's true, like she's saying, it could be an aberration. And he can't really disprove that. Because he doesn't have Omegas, again, as he says, you know, we'll see when I get her to see if it's, you know, if it was true or not. Which, I mean, could it have been an aberration?
Yeah.
I mean, thinking about it, we could all be
thinking she's force sensitive and she's just not.
Right. But it could have been.
But we do know the other side of the story was that Nala Say was not testing her.
That's true.
Blood drugs whatsoever. Blood, right. So obviously something's up. But I mean, she should like play Sabacc, Nala Say. She has a really great Sabacc face. I don't know if you call it poker face when you're playing Sabacc, but she
has a good card face. She has a good card face.
I love how we talk about these people like they're real humans, real beings. Like someone drew the reaction on his face, but I was like, man, he was really considering.
You can really tell his thought process. But that's how good the animation is, obviously, for sure. But yeah, no, I mean, she is playing the long game. And I like how he was like, you know, Omega and CT9004 escaped. She's like, I'm surprised about that. And he's like, are you? Are you though? Because pretty sure you were the one that was helped her. And he can't really prove that yet. But he's pretty confident that she assisted in Omega's escape. And then like you said, like her saying, don't worry, it's an aberration. That's gonna happen, right? That was like her thing. It's gonna happen. We're gonna get false positives. He's like, okay. Well,
he's probably like, we've never had one before. Nice try.
So when I get her, we'll find out. And you're our trouble anyway, so don't worry. So yeah, I think, again, Hemlock and Nala Say, it's such a small conversation, but it's such a big deal, right? Because she's still trying to, keep Omega safe somehow by any means, right? By lying, by whatever way she can. She wants to protect her. And now this is the only way she feels she can do it.
Do you ever think about if Omega is force sensitive and it was intentional by the Kaminoans, who directed that?
again, those are really good questions, because all we know is that she is a clone like Boba, not altered. I guess
that's how you consider it.
Right? Because I'd had to rewatch that, you know, the first season, those first couple episodes.
Again, homework.
Yeah. They could have, they might have talked about it before, but she obviously, we do know she is a clone similar to Boba, where it's not altered, but that's why she ages slowly, kind of like Boba Fett, right? So, but right, but the bigger question is, right, Nala Say, who directed her to do this? Was it just them? Just
right. Where'd she get around? Midichlorians.
I mean, they did hang out with Jedi a lot, right?
I don't know. I mean, Sifo Dyas, supposedly.
Right? Right? Mm-hmm. So...
Dooku.
Yeah, Dooku. But no, yeah, it's a good question. I mean, did they just stumble upon it somehow? Or, like, did they have something? I'm with you. Maybe we'll get those answers. That's a really good... That's a huge question, right? That's kind of been lingering from season one, really.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't think we would get an answer to it. I think it's just supposed to be one of those things we don't even
like
consider.
Yoda and species mystery. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, that makes sense. But it's a good question, though. Like, who wanted to do this? Whose idea? And was it, did Jango Fett give the okay again?
Maybe he's force sensitive,
and maybe we didn't know that. Right? Who knows? Everybody's force sensitive now. No,
everybody is. I am. Right, you are.
Here we go.
Paul Atreides. He's force sensitive.
Atreides. I gotta bring dude into it. But no, I think the, you know, again, that conversation, it's such a small one. It reminds me of like Andor, where the conversations are palpable and they're important.
They ignite thoughts.
Right, and that's what this conversation did for sure. Anything else that you brought out in that little scene, Ange?
No, I'm going to have to rewatch and look for Nala Say's knees now.
I'm telling you, they're like, it's so ridiculous. Again, once you see it, you won't unsee it. Let's just say that.
I'm ready.
Yeah, definitely be on the lookout for your rewatch, and everybody else too. Again, it's like literally almost to her head. Anyway, I'll get off the knee strain real quick. All right, so let's go to Lao and let's talk about that side of the Empire, because in typical fashion, right, there's a guy that's basically running the town. Shocker. In the Empire. He's corrupt. Shocker again. And his name is, I think it's Captain Man. Believe is the his literal name. Yeah,
Captain Man.
I love it.
Like, two N's.
Of course, it's two N's. Like, it's so it's so Star Wars. I love it. But again, a great villain. Like
I love
prototypical Imperial, right? So, Ange, talk about that kind of that whole side of it. The Imperial, like that side from Lao. Captain Man, talk to me about all that stuff. What you got?
Yeah, I loved how Omega has to take the lead on figuring out what to do there, because Crosshair's idea is just absolutely terrible. Like, let's just shoot up the spaceport. Like that's not going to have any consequence whatsoever, or create so much havoc that you'll be unable to escape. Or maybe you will. I don't know. But it shows how resourceful Omega is. And how Crosshair just has his skill and his one way of thinking, which has its place. And you get to see that later. But bribing the attendant, right? You never know what you're going to get. You never know if you're going to get one that's going to say, yeah, give me 30,000 credits, or one that's going to hit an alarm and say, these people tried to bribe me. You just don't know which one
like
you're going to get.
Like
yeah,
Solo.
Like Solo. So that's pretty awesome, too. And then when she's playing, it's not Sabacc, whatever she's playing with that captain, maybe it is, I don't know. It never crossed my mind she was going to get away with it. Right. It just didn't.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah. Like something was going to happen. He wasn't going to like the result, and he wasn't going to like anything about him or her hit Crosshair and Batcher, right? So you knew it was going to come to head in the next scene, which it did. So it was just a great example of what we see in Star Wars when it comes to our heroes trying to get past the Imperial part of every planet they're occupying. So it was great. I mean, I liked it.
I really liked Lao. I like, again, the planet. It's like, again, it feels very old school Star Wars. Like, just like in Mando, like those little towns that he goes to, you know, especially in season one, right, that are run by the Empire, or I should say not run by the Empire, but just those old towns that you see on these planets. That's what it gives me. It gives me those like vibes, right? I love the Empire's look, like a stormtrooper with a poncho. Can't go wrong. Give me an action figure. I loved it so much.
Bro, you love ponchos.
I'm pro poncho. I'm pro poncho around here. So, but I like how especially with the captain, again, he runs the town, right? He goes into the bar. He, you know, the droid gives him his usual, pays him, you know, what he's supposed to pay him. Like it's so Empire, especially when you're not near Coruscant, right? Like the further you go out, obviously it's run this way, right? It's run by a dude that's governing the town, right? And yeah, I agree. So that moment between him and Omega, again, that's why this episode is so intense, because it really could have gone a multitude of ways, right? I mean, it could have been like he's like, no, you cheated. Right. And then they throw him in jail.
Right.
Or, right, he did kind of what I didn't think he was going to do. And be like, okay, yeah, you won fair and square. Right. And then when he said that, I was like, okay, wow, we're getting away with this. And then he was like, hang on, you owe me a fine. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, of course. But then she was like, 10,000, you know, he's like, 10,000. She gives it to him. And then I'm thinking, I'm like, well, crap, do they have enough to get off? And then she was like, we have 35. I'm like, all right, let's get out here. Let's go. What are we waiting for? And then, of course, he takes Batcher. Like, who does that? Who takes the dog? Come on. It's terrible. So, but again, what I love, the conversations between Omega and Crosshair throughout this whole process, right? You know, they when they get to Lao, you know, she wants to notify Hunter, and Crosshair is like, we can't do that because they're definitely, you know, watching those long communications, right? So, okay, so that's out. So then she gets disguises. And then she, like you say, she tries to bribe the lady, and she was the lady at the ticket counter, and she was told you need 30,000 credits, you know. And then I love the comment, though, when, you know, she tells the lady, you know, ask for, you know, how they can get on without it, and it's a bribe, and the lady tells her, and then, you know, Crosshair, they're walking away, and Crosshair's like, so that went well. And she's just like, stow it. Like, I love that line of just how she said it to Crosshair. Just like, it's like the equivalent of shut up in Star Wars. Like, stow it. I love it. But then, again, Omega thinking outside the box a little bit. Again, different than Crosshair. And I like when they're in that bar and he's like, so you want to hustle someone. Like, this is your plan. And I love, again, I love Omega's like, I've done it before, and I call it a relocation of funds, or however she says it. Yeah. Like, she doesn't like to call it hustling. It's a, you know, a regulation, or whatever she calls it, of funds. I love that so much. And of course, she beats a Trandoshan, which is hilarious, but you gotta love to see that sometimes.
Gotta love that.
Yeah. But again, and then even that little moment of, before they go into the bar, there's that kid, right, that we see outside of it. And you wonder why they kind of hung on him for like a beat. It comes back because he, you know, when they leave the bar, that's when they notice Batcher is gone. And then the kid is like, well, I know where he is, but it's going to cost you money. And I said, again, I love Crosshair's just like, I am so sick and tired of everybody wanting money.
Wanting 10,000 credits. Right.
And so he like walks up to the kid like he's going to like do something. And Mecca's like, all right, hold on. And the kid's like, all right, 5, 5, 5. Just give me 5,000. But, you know, take it or leave it. And that's when he tells him that, you know, Batcher's in at the dock or the spaceport dock or whatever. And the moment that I thought was really interesting is this, is when Omega's going towards the dock and then Crosshair's going the other way. He's like, the spaceport's this way. She's like, well, where they have Batcher is the other way. He's like, you have to let that go, right? Because again, he is so survival, right? But in a different way, because Omega wants to survive, but she wants to survive with the people she cares for. Does that make sense, Ange? Like, she cares about these people. She cares about Batcher.
Man, I was on Team Crosshair in this moment, honestly. I was like, it's, and I'm a dog person. I'm like, it's a dog. You have the credits to get off of this planet. Let's go. Let's go. I was Team Crosshair.
It's interesting. It's an interesting thing. I think what, and I was, shout out to Alberto from Radio Rebellion podcast. I was watching his show yesterday and he brought up this interesting, an interesting idea of that scene where she throws the money at him, right? And says, take it. I'm staying here. You can go without me. Did you feel that was like a little bit out of character for her? Like the entire episode, which, and this is very, very true. Like Alberto was saying, the entire episode, she was like, you know, we got to go together. You know, we have to do it this way. We have to get off planet together. And then at a moment's notice, she was like, take the money. You get out of here. I'm saving Batcher. Was that, did that feel off or is that just, or do you feel like that? No, that's Omega. I mean, it seems like a something that she would do in that moment.
It felt a little Omega, but it also felt like Crosshair's going to give in and follow her anyway. And I think that's what she knows as well.
That's a good point.
But I don't know. It didn't feel off to me. And I think like in that moment, I thought like there's going to be a moment where like it's not going to work out for Omega. Like she's going to push for one result and it's gonna turn bad on her. This one kind of did because it was a trap, but they got out of it. So she keeps getting these moments where her way is the best way. And I don't know if that's gonna come back to bite her, you know, because she's not really taking into consideration, you know, what Crosshair is thinking. And he was right. Like it was a trap. It was time to go. They got lucky getting on that cargo ship, I'm gonna be honest. So I think it was on par for me, but I think it was a point that's going to come up later in the future where it's going to bite her.
I like that. No, that's a really good point. Because it did kind of, I mean, thinking of it in those terms of like her saying, you know, no, we got to do this together, right? We got to get off the planet together and all that. And at a moment of where they can do that together, but because they don't have Batcher, she's willing to, like you're saying, risk it all. Because she cares so much about, you know, Batcher. And her point, again, her point of contention is that, you know, we wouldn't be where we are without Batcher, which, yeah, maybe. True, right, true, maybe, maybe not. But it is kind of interesting for her just to be like, you take all the money, I'm staying here, where she could at least took her half and been like, here's your half, I can, you know. You got to do what you got to do. But I think you're 100% right when you say, I think Omega, maybe in the back of her mind, hoped or maybe she really believed that he would follow her. And he did, of course, right? Begrudgingly, but he did. And I like how he's just, you know, his words were like, we'll do it your way, right? Instead of trying to fight her, he's just going to go along with it finally, right? Because the entire episode he's been like saying no, 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 right? To any of her ideas.
I loved how he was like, he gave her the reminder. He said, my skills are being wasted. you know, and she said noted. That was perfect, because there has to be a compromise where you're utilizing everybody in the correct way. And he was just calling it out. I love Crosshair.
I loved him in this episode. It was great. And then, of course, like you said, you know, we get to that that point. But before that, though, I think you're 100% right with Crosshair. I think he is trying to tell her, okay, like, well, I'll follow you, but, like, you realize we're not using what I'm very good at right now so that we can survive this together. And like you said, she said noted, and I do love that. But and you're right. He's 100% right in what he's been saying the entire episode. Like, we have to get off this planet immediately because they will find that crash ship. We have to, like, we can't delay it. So you get his point, and I'm 100% with you, Angie. You get where he's coming from and how he thinks. But Omega just doesn't think that way, right? She thinks, again, it's a different approach. Again, aptly, you know, why this episode's so perfectly, you know, titled. But, you know, they get to the point where they get into the cargo hold area, and it's a trap, like you're saying, it's a trap. And that moment of Omega just sighing and, like, turning to, like, Crosshair a little bit, like, all right. She's like, all right. She throws it back. She's like, we'll do it your way. And then it's just like, finally. I loved it so much. And then we get one of the greatest Star Wars stampeding animals scene that I love so much. I loved it. I loved it so much. So, I mean, what's your, and we get to this point, what's your thoughts about, you know, how they escaped, the whole process? What'd you think about it?
I mean, it was, you know, it was in their favor. You didn't really know in this episode, just like you said, like during the card game, whether it was going to be, they could have easily got locked up, put somewhere else. And then here we are trying to get out of another bad situation. But, you know, you got to like when the creatures get involved, you got to like when nature helps out. That's always like a strong Star Wars, George Lucas-y thing. So that was really great. Nature versus
Empire.
Yep. So, you know, you got to love that. And the compromise was like came through. And it moving, like after it moves on to from this, like you still see them butt heads a little bit and Crosshair just being very pessimistic about the outcome of things. So, it's like, did they like learn a lesson in this one, or is it going to take a moment to like sink in? So, it was just, I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, I love that she freed all the animals. Cause again, like we brought it up at one point, she was like, we have to let them all go.
Or, and he was like, don't push it.
Like, don't push it. Like, come on.
Right. And I was saying the same thing. I was right there with Crosshair. I was like, come on, just get your dog and let's go.
Right. Cause again, this entire episode, on the edge of your seat, like, dude, we have to get off this freaking planet. Let's go. And again, I love how it all played out. You know, Crosshair just, you know, doing his thing, right? Some of those cool moves of like him pulling the gate to like block a blaster shot, or
that was dope.
That was great. I mean, again, some great animation, great choreography, great all that. It was so, so good. And then they get onto that cargo ship, and one of my favorite shots is that stormtrooper kind of getting up, looking, and seeing the ship taking off and just yeets him like off the tower that he's on. Oh, it was so funny. It was so funny. And then I love that little moment of when they're on the cargo ship, you know, she's like, yeah, we got to go. I know, I'm working on it. Like, again, they're kind of in unison now a little bit, or at least are on the same page. And then I love Batcher just giving kisses to Crosshair too. You gotta love it. You gotta love that little dog. Well, that's a big dog, but you know, you gotta love that dog. And then again, she sends out that corrupted message, hoping that they would answer. And even Crosshair is like, you know, it's been months. We don't even know if they're alive.
How'd you feel when he said that?
I mean, he's not wrong, right? I mean, he doesn't know.
I was surprised. I just didn't even cross my mind. Maybe because we know the other side. but
right, that we already knew, right?
Yeah,
right.
But I never would have thought like, oh, because they got through every battle, every mission. You know, they were like infallible. Like, how were they maybe not around anymore? It just surprised me when he said that.
It was, I mean, for him to be kind of thinking of them, right? Or even like thinking that, hey, you know what? Maybe they are alive. Maybe they're not. Or maybe he probably hasn't really even thought about it a lot. And he's just assuming like, dude, it's been months. We don't even know. We don't know if they're alive. And
at least we know it's been months and not years.
Yeah. Right. We figured that we did the math last week and we figured it was a few months, so confirmed, right, by Crosshair that it's been a few months. And then again, that they land at that secret location that she said. Now, I'll ask you this, Ange. Was this that reminded me of that spot that they met Hera?
It is.
Is it the same spot? I thought it was.
Yeah, it's a moon off of Ryloth.
Okay, I thought that was... Okay, I was thinking the same thing. Okay.
Nice.
That was perfect. Again, nice little callback from season one for them to land and meet where that, you know, where that all happened. But again, that shot of like the two ships on, you know, on either side, you see the lights, right? And then you see Omega come down and it's Wrecker first, which I love. That was perfect. I love that. Yeah. And then you see Hunter behind her, you know, and that Omega Hunter like theme kicks in, which is great. And then, you know, I love Hunter, you know, he's like, how did you, you know, we've been looking for you forever. And you're the one that reached out to us. And, you know, he's like, how did you accomplish it? She's like, I had help. And then you hear that Crosshair theme.
Ooh,
God, it was so good.
I got goosebumps when it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just love the, like, Hunter's facial expression and Wrecker's, right? They were just like, what? And he just walks down the, you know, the ship door, you know, walking down. And you just see their faces. And then you can see Omega kind of worried, like, oh, crap, was this the right call? Like, should I have maybe left him behind on Tanis? Like, because they're mad, clearly, or at least it looks like how that ended. They were not happy to see him. But I feel like that's going to change for sure. But talk to me about that whole scene, Ange. What'd you think? How'd you feel?
Yeah, I love the line when Wrecker was like, we crossed the galaxy four times looking for you. It sounded so like, I don't know. It just sounded like I crossed the galaxy four times. It was so great. I was like, wow, yeah, they're too. Really been.
And then Hunter's like, it was actually five.
Yeah. I just thought that was so great. And I was surprised. I was surprised we got a reunion that fast. I thought maybe she would send a call out and someone else would intercept it and it wouldn't be them that showed up and all that stuff. But I love that they are back together and that there was a reunion and that Crosshair is there. And that makes me like very excited for what's going to happen next. Like, are they going to have a conversation about tech? Like, are they going to bring Crosshair in with like open arms? Because Wrecker and Hunter kind of had a look on their face, but they also know that he sent out that signal about what they were trying to do, so they know he still might be as difficult as he's always been, but at least he's on board with them. So that makes me really excited for what's coming up.
And that's a good point. Like, it could go a multitude of ways.
Right. Yeah, he can be like, I don't want to do this anymore, you know?
Right. Bye. He could just be like, all right, well, she's safe. Bye. Like, I'm gone. I'm out of here.
I'm going to take this dog.
He's going to take Batcher. But no, and you're completely right. Like, how their facial expression said so much without saying anything, right? But you have that, like you said, Ange, and that's a good point. You have that moment from last season where he sent that message. And it was Tech was the one that pushed it, because in last season, Hunter and Wrecker were like, can we trust it? And Tech's like,
right,
we have to trust it. He is, you know, he's still our brother. Like, we, and it's a coded message, right? It wasn't like, it was something that only they would be able to, like, pick up and understand, right? Like, the code, the plan, or whatever he, I can't remember what he said exactly, but in season two, but it was a warning, right? He fully warned them about what was going on. And because of Tech, they're the ones that went to go, you know, look into the situation. But there's so much trust already burnt by him, right? From what he did. It's going to be a minute, I think, for them to trust him. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know, right? I mean, maybe they... Obviously, I think he has to go with them to get somewhere. And then either he can stay with them or he'll leave, right? I feel like he's staying just based on the trailer, but... he might leave, and then maybe he comes back. Who knows, right? There's a lot of things that could happen. A lot of things that could happen. But it's a big moment, right? This is a big, big moment. I mean, the reunion that, again, we got it in the first four episodes. Like, they're just doing the thing like we talked about earlier. Like, they're just not holding back because there's so much more to, I think, maybe to dive into this season. But who knows? So, and four episodes in this season already, we're a quarter of the way done already, which is crazy to think about. Overall, how are you feeling so far? Is it moving like you did, or is it unexpected? Like, kind of where are you at so far in this season?
A little unexpected, because when we saw the trailer, we started thinking like, oh, maybe Crosshair makes it off and Omega is stuck, and that's going to be the thing, is them trying to get Omega off of Tantus.
Boy, were we wrong.
We were so wrong.
We were so wrong.
So I'm loving the speed of this. I love the beginning where it was like that slow burn and you got to feel the uncomfortableness of what was going on with everybody and the all of the trials they were going through as well too. And then to then get a reunion right off the bat, because you want your team back, right? It's kind of like how I was in Rebels season 3, where everybody split off and did their own thing. And when you got them back together in season 4, you're like, this is what I like. Good.
Right.
Not that I don't like them by themselves, but that family orientation of them, it just has a good feel to it. So I hope that's what we get to. I hope they come to a realization that you never know what's going to happen, and like, life is short, and you should probably just accept people for their differences, and let's kind of like stay together as a family. So, but Omega has a high price on her head, so it's going to be dangerous. She's got a really big price on her head. You know, she could have midichlorians. It's wild.
Right, right. Or it could be a false positive, as Nalase said.
You know it's not.
I know it's not, but I'm just saying it could be. It could be. I think the first four episodes, I loved them. I loved how we kind of got back into it, like you're saying, Ange. Especially those first like episodes, couple episodes. It was like, okay, this is where we're at. This is the stakes. This is where everybody is, right? Everybody's on the board now, or, you know, we know where everybody's at. I think when you put, I think, episodes 1, 3, and 4 together, so basically like Omega and Crosshair stuff, it's good. And I'm not saying anything bad about that other episode. I'm just saying like those three episodes, when you put them together, like when I rewatch, I might watch all those three consecutively because it just flows so well, right? But I love that episode with Wrecker and Hunter because, again, A, you learned more information about the Empire, right? What they were doing and how they were doing these experiments, right? And then it got out of control and they had to literally bombard the place because they couldn't do anything about it. And then we got the cadets, right, that survived and all that. That was a good episode. It's a fun episode. So, you know, these first four, I'm with you as far as I'm a little surprised at how fast we got the reunion. I'm not mad about it. I am very surprised. So for me, I have thoughts of where it can go. I think, again, this is now that we're four in, my thinking process goes like this. Again, this is just based off of just feelings and just how maybe it could go. Again, we've obviously been wrong already once, so I'll go two for two probably. But I feel like they will obviously get to Pabu, right? I feel like that's where they're going to go next. And I feel like at some point, I don't know if it's going to be next episode or somewhere in this season, right? Omega's going to be on Pabu. They might be away or something, like the Wrecker and Hunter and I think Crosshair, because I think Crosshair obviously joins them. Again, just kind of what we've seen in the trailer, but just a feeling. But I think that's where Pabu, because again, in the trailer, we see it in a bad spot, right? We see it burning and we like it doesn't look good for Pabu. So I feel like that's where the Empire finds them and gets Omega back. And I think then, maybe towards the end of the season, that's obviously their goal, is getting Omega back. I think they feel like if she stays on Pabu, because it's out in an area where nobody really knows it, right? That's as far as we have been told. Like, Pabu is kind of a hidden place. Well, eventually, they're going to find it. And I think, again, even in this episode, when Hemlock was on Lao, he said, you know, he told that one commander, like, send all of our assets, right? So who's that? Is it bounty hunters or just the stormtroopers that he's got? Like, what is he talking about? Because that could lead to Cat Bane, right? That could lead to Fennec. So you see kind of where the path is going, for sure. But yeah, for me, I feel like at some point, they are going to get Omega. That's just how I feel. And that's when I think they have to come together, again, as a group, and go get her, and maybe even, again, save those other clones from Tantus, too. I think that might be a part of it. And plus, we still have the whole Emperor stuff. I think there's a lot of those questions that still need to be answered, too. So a lot to do, I think, in these last, 12 episodes that we have? So it's crazy. So, Ange, where do you go? Where do you go with all of that?
Do you think Omega makes it?
Survives?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah?
I don't think they're going to eliminate a child in the animation. She survives, but how, though? I don't know.
Because all points point to that she doesn't make it, or the Empire doesn't utilize her in the end, right? Doesn't have her anymore. And then if this is the end of the Bad Batch, then is it a happy ending? They all survive. They all make it. They all go somewhere and live a peaceful life. I don't know. My mind's like kind of blank about what's ahead for the future. I mean, we know a couple things like we haven't seen yet. We know Fennec's in play. Cad's in play.
Ventress. You know,
Ventress is in play. You know that Fennec goes back to Nala Se. So it's going to be really interesting. But the final product is, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Maybe they don't even go to Pabu, and the Empire just knows that they were there. And maybe they're just trying to hide, right? I mean, that could be a thing. I mean, they could be on the run because of the bounty, right? Because you know there's probably going to be a bounty, and maybe that's how Cat Bane gets involved, Fennec, and maybe that's how Ventress gets involved. Maybe she's back doing her bounty stuff, right? I saw on Twitter, just side note, somebody talking about how they would love to see Ventress and Quinlan reunite, which I would love as well. But they also said that it'd be cool if those two together, because we know obviously from the Obi-Wan Kenobi show that Quinlan was part of the path. That'd be cool if them together were helping children like get the safety through the path. And maybe that's what Ventress does with Omega.
Maybe. She could be a force sensitive child.
We don't know that, but right, we're kind of leaning towards, at least M count wise, she has a higher sense of the force that she could tap into with training. We have to be specific on that, because I think it was clear in Ahsoka, in the Ahsoka show, that that's kind of how it works, right? Even though you might have the force, you have to train with it, you have to be willing to train with it and be disciplined, right? But that could be a thing. I would love that. Like, honestly, I would love if Ventress, and we get Ventress and Quinlan together, and we kind of get the whole path thing. That would be cool. I would love that. Yeah, not putting all my chips in that, but that'd be very, very cool. But I think it's going to be more of the Empire gets to Pabu at some point somehow, right? Either they maybe capture Omega or they get away, and that's when they have to keep running around. And that's where we see, again, Ventress and Cad Bane and Fennec. Because we know that, or at least I'm aware of, like, the early reviewers got the first 8 episodes. So they got the first half of the season, basically.
Mm.
So I don't know if a lot of what they have shown in the trailer in the first 8, I would guess, but maybe not. But that would make sense, because if they just give them the first 8, it's what things in the trailers they have seen. And obviously, they want the last half of the season to be secretive or whatever, or, you know, not show anything. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, how does this all, like, how does everybody get into play? Right? Because there's a lot of things that we have seen or we assume is going to happen. And again, that's one thing about this season so far, is they can go a bunch of different ways. A very bunch of different ways.
I mean, think about last season. We literally thought they were going to ride off into the sunset, and yeah, it was tragic.
Au contraire, Jennifer Corbett said. Au contraire. Boy, were we wrong. Again, we were wrong, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. And again, any other thoughts about, again, we've quarter of the way. Anything that you might, I know speculation, we don't like to do it too much around here. But where, anything that you think we could be going to, or anything that you want, let's go by this, anything you want to maybe see or have brought up this season to wrap up, like a main storyline, a B storyline, whatever, what do you got?
I want Cad Bane and the Emperor's connection to come back up again. So, how it was in the Clone Wars and then where it's led it to. So I hope that is the result of, like, why we see Cad Bane is because of the Emperor and what they were doing with stealing that, what was that thing called they stole?
The Force-sensitive, like the list of Force-sensitive.
Yeah. Was it the Holocron?
Yeah, it might have been. I can't remember if it was a Holocron exactly. But you're on the right path, because, you know, when the Emperor told Hemlock you have all the resources, Cad Bane's probably a resource for the Emperor, right? So maybe that's what he meant when he said all the assets, like, notify them. Maybe that's who he's going to reach out to. That could be. What else you got? Anything else you want to see or know or get wrapped up or anything?
I mean, I really want to see what's up with Ventress and why she's here, you know? I really want to see that. That's probably the most enticing thing that we saw in the trailer. It kind of distracted us from the rest of the story, so I would like to see how it relates, you know? Because right now, we're all in on the Batch and Omega. So, how does she play into this? I want to see it. How is she alive?
Yeah. And maybe we get those answers, maybe not, right? I mean, who knows? Who knows? Who knows is how they're going to answer it or kind of leave it, not vague, or at least leave it up to our interpretation of it? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, maybe they'll be specific with it, or maybe they'll just, again, kind of give a very vague overlay of her just saying, I'm from Dathomir, I'm a witch. Like, oh, okay. Like, say no more. Like, I get it. I think Ventress, that one's, I think, intriguing to me. Is, again, because, again, she's one of my favorite characters. So seeing her back, how that all plays out, and, again, how we get to her is going to be fascinating. I really want to, again, I assume we will, but I'm really interested for me to, in this whole Emperor Project Necno Manor, Necromancer? Necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in seeing what's in the pods. What are we doing? What is going on in Tantus? Like, what is that lab trying to create? We're assuming it's a clone for the Emperor, right? We're assuming it's a body that he can take over. Maybe, maybe not. But there was a lot of tubes. What's in those things? Like you're saying, like I know you said like last week, Andrew, it could be force sensitive people. It could be other species. Who knows?
It could be Dathan. You know, Dathan, his son that is Rey's father. Like,
huh?
There is that. Like, he was a failure of one of the experiments. Like, he could be in one of those pods.
I wonder if. Ooh, that's interesting. When Nalase and Hemlock talked about how they were successful, but it was like diminished. Wonder if that was him.
Right.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good one. That's a good one. I'm very interested to see how we wrap up that Empire stuff though, right? Like what do we like, how does this play in the overall bigger picture? Right? Not just Bad Batch, but obviously we know moving forward. It's still in play. It's still at large, right? This project, Necromancer. So how does this get all connected? Yeah, I'm fascinated. I'm hoping to see two Crosshair don his Bad Batch outfit.
Oh yeah, I think we're getting that for sure, right?
I'm hoping. Get him back with his sniper, you know, blaster or whatever. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for him to join the crew. I am. I'm ready for him to be back as a member. And then, again, one of the bigger questions is Tech. Is he truly gone? I mean, we know nobody is ever really gone.
Really gone.
I get it, Luke. But is he really gone? I think that's going to be interesting. I have said this before. I hope it is because, again, I think that just gives his sacrifice a bigger meaning. But we'll see. We'll see. Anything else, Ange, that you want to talk about before we wrap things up around here?
Nope. My mind just went, pew. So I'm going to stop. It just went to one of those, like, Kira is Rey's mom things.
We're going down that path. Okay, we gotta.
I'm gonna stop.
We're gonna wrap it up real quick before we get out of control. All right, kids, that's it. That's the show. I hope you guys liked our review of Bad Batch episode 4. A different approach. We'll probably be doing two at a time moving forward.
Unless something huge happens. Right. I mean, Ventress could be in next week, so we want to talk about it. You never know.
So we'll play it by episode, but. For sure, two at a time. Again, depending on the episode, if it's a big one, we will obviously discuss it. But we'll go two at a time. Just gives us more to talk about and more to digest and discuss. But that is the plan for now. Guys, I hope you guys like this recap. If you like our show, please go follow us, The Galactic Podcast, at The Galactic Pod and all the social medias. And you can follow us on Apple Pod, Google Play, Spotify, all the major platforms for your podcasting listening. And you can follow me, Lauren Romo, at Low Road Knows on all the socials.
You can follow me, Andrea Gutierrez, at R2D2Step on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, kids. That's it. That's your show. And always,
I have nothing. Hang on. Wait. I have nothing to say about BTS because they're gone, right? They're gone. It has been a giant.
No more BTS updates. All right.
It has been a giant void, them all being in the military service. But I will say that Jin does come back in 100 days. So that's exciting.
And we have Dune too.
Yeah. Aquire. Oh, I've been on Dune for a while. You know, I've freaking read it 3 times. I'm reading Messiah now. I've been on a Dune thing.
That'll get us through the next 100 days for sure.
Yeah.
All right, kids, that's it. That's the show. And I hope you liked it. And as always, may that force be with you.
Always.
Always.